This is the Talk of Fame Network on SB Nation Radio from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's Clark Judge, Rick Goslin, and Ron Borges.
San Francisco 49ers great Dwight Clark passed away this week at the age of 61 after a two-year battle with ALS, and news of his death saddened people everywhere. I mean, I knew him and covered him. Rick and Ron knew him. And our next guest, former linebacker Garrett Plummer, not only knew him very well and played for him in the mid to late 1990s in San Francisco, but was there at Dwight's ranch in Montana this April to say goodbye. And Gary, I know you and I spoke the other day about this, but if you can, tell our listeners, what was the first thing you thought of when you heard that Dwight Clark was gone?
I was actually grateful, you know, that he's no longer suffering, because truly it was, as we talked about the other day, one of his nicknames was Hercules, and it was a Herculean effort each day that we were in Montana. There were about 50 of us each day for him to spend even an hour and a half with us. You know, he had to have somebody kind of prop him upright when he wanted to speak, because he was so hunched over. And it was just, you could just see he was exhausted. And so my first thought was, extremely grateful he's no longer suffering.
When you hear the name Dwight Clark, what do you think of first, and what do you remember most about him?
His smile. Just a gregarious, effervescent, outgoing personality that very humble. And I think that oftentimes those things don't go together, because he was clearly an amazing talent on the field. And to be able to be that humble with a guy that was certainly a great-looking guy. I mean, he did date Miss America, and Kelly, his wife, his late wife, obviously, she was beautiful, is beautiful, too. So, here's a guy that had it all. He absolutely had it all, but he was humble about it.
So, Gary, how difficult was the reunion? I mean, you had a sense the end could be near. Were there more tears or laughs?
I would say there were an equal distribution. It was Eddie's place there in Montana is pretty amazing, his ranch. And he has this clubhouse, and it has more memorabilia, 49er memorabilia, than you're going to find anywhere. And it's just his place that he hangs out. He has an office in there, and you just walk around and you see the history, and guys start telling stories, and it's kind of like a locker room also. And that was the one feeling that every one of us talked about. It literally felt like you were back in the off-season in a locker room, BSing after mini camp, just telling stories. And so clearly tons of laughter. But Eddie had, and I've seen some of the clips since that I'm sure they borrowed from the thing Eddie had made. He had basically a 30 for 30 made for that event for Dwight. And I found out things about Dwight that I didn't know. I didn't know that he was the original guy that had the amazing work ethic that basically taught Jerry Rice. And we always talk about Jerry Rice being the greatest of all time. And, you know, the reason for that is not just his natural ability, but his great work ethic. It was Dwight that taught him how to work hard like that. And Ronnie Lott told stories about how there were times in practice he'd have to tell Dwight, don't slow down. You know, it's not, we got a game in a couple of days. And Dwight wouldn't do it. He was a guy that went pedal to the metal. And so it was really cool. It was a great experience.
So how tough was it to say goodbye that final day?
Excuse me?
How tough was it to say goodbye the final day?
Well, it, so many tears. I mean, we all had the opportunity to, to hug him goodbye and say whatever you wanted to say to him. And it was, you know, each and every time you walk in, you could just see the guys. You know, we were kind of waiting in line, and, you know, guys would have a smile on their face walking up, because clearly he was in his wheelchair. And, you know, the second you're finished, you cry as you're walking away. And I saw, you know, 50 grown men, macho football players, start out, walk in with a smile and Dwight's face, and as soon as you say goodbye, walk away with tears in your eyes. So it was very difficult.
Gary, as a football player, why would you say Dwight, you know, made it when so many other guys who, you know, he would always say, you know, he wasn't the fastest guy and he wasn't the strongest guy and he wasn't this and he wasn't that. But obviously he was a very reliable receiver and a guy that Joe Montana really knew he could count on. Why did he make it when a lot of other guys probably with his set of skills would have had a hard time?
Well, he gave a lot of the credit to a guy that believed in him, that we all know, and Bill Walsh, and you know, just seeing something in him, and he might have believed more in Dwight than Dwight believed in himself. But he also had another guy named Joe Montana that kept telling him, dude, it's okay. You can unpack your suitcase. You're not getting cut. You're going to make this team. And, you know, so having a couple of cheerleaders like that definitely helped him. But he had a tremendous work ethic. And to know the stories, you know, that Ronnie told and the way he studied the game. And he knew he would always be that guy to find a way to get open for Joe Montana, and, you know, he became that clutch guy for him. It just and I think being humble, even up until his last year, not taking anything for granted. I think too often, if you have a ton of talent, you have the inclination to maybe relax too much. I've said it many times, there are rare few people like Jerry Rice that has an amazing work ethic that goes along with talent. The other guys I put in that category are Deion Sanders, Junior Seau, but guys like Dwight are guys that have marginal talent but just outwork everyone else, and that's why he made it.
What do you take away from, and I thought it was pretty amazing the way he lived his life in these last couple of years, and a lot of people would have just, you know, sort of gone off and hit it. It happens a lot. But he didn't, you know. I mean, he was back at in San Francisco when they honored him there. He, you know, had this great reunion with all you guys. What do you sort of take away from that, the way he, a lot of times the way people end their lives says a lot about them.
Well, there were times that he actually expressed that to a few players. We all talked about it. Of course, many of us had the opportunity over these last 2 years to go have the lunches with him while he was still living in Capitola. And I know that, Clark, you had the opportunity to do that as well. You know, those were tremendous opportunities. So tons of guys doing that. But he had expressed during certain lunches, you know, I'm not sure if I want to do this anymore. I'm not sure I want people to see me like this. And I'd rather have them remember me, you know, healthy and walking. And, you know, I can remember he drove from his house in Capitola to the luncheon that we had that day in his motorized chair. But he stood up and took pictures with all of us at that point. And I know he did the same thing for most of the guys in those meetings. And we had all talked about it, and he got progressively worse. But there were times that he wasn't sure he wanted to do this anymore. And I think, you know, clearly he had made the decision to continue to do it because the benefits far outweighed, you know, whatever you want to say, the connection to vanity or how exhausting it was. He truly loved telling stories again. And Clark and I talked about that yesterday and how he was a great storyteller. And he still was right up until the very end. And so that's what I'm going to remember, is that great smile of his and his ability to tell an amazing story.
Well, Gary, just like you said, I mean, he had it all. He didn't date Miss America. He dated Miss Universe, Sean Weatherly. I mean, just, and they were sort of the couple. I mean, everyone's talking about him, and that was, whatever it was, 30, 40 years ago, something like that. But he had great kids. He's got three great-looking kids. He had terrific success on the football field, and yet, in the end, none of it mattered. And I think there's sort of a lesson here. You know, I remember, and Ron would know this well, too, and Rick would. Al Davis used to say, death is the great equalizer. And he's right. I mean, you know, when it comes down to this, it doesn't make any difference what Dwight had. He was a great-looking guy. He was 6'4". He took over a room when he came in. Everyone knew who he was. And I've been trying to sort of play this out for months. Like, how did this happen to this guy? This is the one guy it shouldn't happen to. He had everything. Yet in the end, he didn't, and it's a, I think it's a great life lesson. Just you know, death is, Al Davis right. See, it's the equalizer.
It's the one thing, you know, we're all going to have in common, certainly. And I think the other lesson is you know, when you surround yourself with great people, great things are going to happen in your life. And to be a part of this whole thing over these last 2 years, and you know, just seeing, and really it goes way beyond that. It goes back to people that worked in the front office that passed away, like Dave Long. It goes back to Freddie Solomon. Eddie DiBartolo has been doing this for years, and he is one of the most amazing patriarchs to the 49er family, to any sports franchise that's ever been. We truly feel like we're so blessed to have family, and you know, it takes an effort for guys to fly from all over the country to go to a lunch or, you know, spend a few days with a guy. And you know, if you're going to do that, you're not going to just do that for somebody you don't care about. And you feel like with Eddie, he's created this family, this connection, and it goes beyond winning Super Bowls. It's truly a brotherhood. It's truly love.
Gary, how did Eddie take this?
I think it were six words that he sent back in a text, and basically it just said, we're devastated. You know, Dwight was, you know, Eddie's been a father figure for a lot of players, but Dwight was like his little brother. And so they were so close. And, you know, remember Eddie, they're only 10 years apart. And Eddie, back in those early days, I mean, he's a 34-year-old multimillionaire who owns, you know, the best team in football. He did a lot of time. He spent a lot of time hanging out with the likes of Dwight Clark, and they were good times. And so, this is a guy that he's shared so many experiences with, and he truly feels like he lost a little brother today or yesterday.
Oh yeah, no question. Hey Gary, as always, thanks for the time. You're the best.
Thank
really
you,
appreciate it. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Gary.
Appreciate it.
That was former San Francisco linebacker Gary Plummer. Up next, it's 2 Minute Drill. This is the Talk of Fame Network.